Good day, brothers and sisters, and welcome to the CMI School of Christ. And we're going to go ahead and continue with our class, The Great Mercy of God. And I know that we haven't had a class since last year. Just a quick announcement. My camcorder went bad on me, and I had to make a claim through insurance and just do a lot of stuff like that. Finally, they couldn't fix it. They couldn't repair it. So I ended up having to get another camcorder. But thank the Lord, we're going on today. And more, or shall I say greater than that, we're continuing on in the Lord. So I wanted to just continue on with this class. And what, just like a real quick short review, because we haven't had a class in over a month. What we've been doing, we've been looking at Genesis chapter 17, verses 1 through 2, and we looked at the word, excuse me, I still have my Spanish notes out, excuse me, the terms, walk and before, and perfect, actually just walk and perfect, where the Lord says, well, let me just go ahead and read it, Genesis chapter 17, verses 1 and 2. And when Abram was 90 years old and nine, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. I am El Shaddai. Then he says this, walk before my face and be thou perfect. Verse 2, and I will make my covenant between me and thee and will multiply thee exceedingly. Okay, now what we've been doing, we've been looking at those terms, actually just the Strong's numbers. Walk, Strong's number 1980, and the term perfect, Strong's number 8549. And what I did a Strong's number search just to see where those two terms, where those two Strong's numbers would appear in the scriptures in the same verse. And that's our key. Our last class, we looked at Psalm 84. And for this class, for this class, I wanted to look at Psalm 101, and I don't believe we've covered it yet, because I listened to our last class just to kind of refresh myself on where we left off. But if I have covered Psalm 101, well, praise God, I'm covering it again. But I don't think we have. And so the next passage where these terms occur within the same verse is Psalm 101, and it shows up in verse 2 and verse 6 of Psalm 101. Now, just a quick heads up concerning this psalm. Some believe that it was written by David during the time when he was trying to, after the death of Saul, when David was trying to bring the Ark of the Covenant, the Ark of the Testimony, to Jerusalem. Some believe that was that it was written during that time. Other commentators believe that it was written specifically for kings, basically some guidelines to adhere to. And then I think a different commentator that I might have read believed that it was written for Josiah. And so with me, it's regardless of, in this sense, please understand, of who or when it was written. With me, it is more of a, do not separate the testimony from the substance. The psalm, in effect, is a testimony of Christ, and we cannot separate that testimony from the person, the substance of whom it testifies, okay? So greater than everything, greater than the, well, did this person write it? Did this person write it? Who was it written for? Let's not separate the testimony from the substance. So, let me go ahead and read once again. Let me just read Genesis chapter 17, verse 1. And when Abram was 90 years old and nine, the Lord appeared to Abram, and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. I am El Shaddai. Walk before my face and be thou perfect. And we know in the context of this, the Lord El Shaddai is speaking to Abram, and Abram is looking at Ishmael. And God knows this. God understands this. God sees this. It is Abram who does not know this. It is Abram who does not understand this. It is Abram has no clue. He does not see what's going on. And the thing is this, is that when the Lord declares something, man will eventually, and right here, Abram comes to this, man will eventually come to the conclusion that only God himself can realize what he has declared, can bring to fruition what he himself has declared. Because up to this point, God has spoken to Abram, and Abram has taken the initiative and produced Ishmael as a response. Instead of, let me mark it down, instead of waiting upon the Lord, and that's the verse where I want us to start before we read Psalm 101. Let me pull it up real quick. This is Psalm 27, verse 14. This is what the psalmist says. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. And Ishmael was the result of Abram not waiting upon the Lord. Ishmael is a result of Abram taking the initiative and not allowing the Lord to take the initiative. So, just with that, now let's read Psalm 101. All right, a Psalm of David, verse 1. I will sing of mercy and judgment unto thee, O Lord, will I sing. So it doesn't say, I will sing of the mercy and judgment of God, of the Lord. He says, I will sing of mercy and judgment, and then he defines it, unto thee, O Lord, will I sing. So not just God's mercy, God's judgment, but God himself, Christ himself, who is the mercy of God, Christ himself, who is the judgment, the righteousness of God. Remember, not separating the testimony from the substance. All right, going on, verse 2, I will behave myself wisely in a perfect way. O, when wilt thou come unto me? I will walk within my house with a perfect heart. Verse 3, I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave to me. A froward heart shall depart from me. I will not know a wicked person. Whoso privily slandereth his neighbor, him will I cut off. Him that hath an high look and a proud heart will I not suffer. Mine eyes shall be upon the faithful of the land, that they may dwell with me. He that walketh, here's our term, because that's verse 6, he that walketh in a perfect, there's our other term, in a perfect way, he shall serve me. Verse 7, he that worketh deceit shall not dwell within my house. He that telleth lies shall not tarry in my sight. I will early destroy all the wicked of the land, that I may cut off all the wicked doers from the city of the Lord. Now, a couple things going on here. First and foremost, the only one who can realize this psalm is Christ himself. I will behave myself wisely in a perfect way. That is Christ himself. I will walk within my house with a perfect heart. That is Christ himself. Another thing is that we see excuse me, I don't know how much noise that made, but I had to lower the microphone. We see here some things going on. And like, look at verse 7. He that worketh deceit shall not dwell within my house. He that telleth lies, okay, worketh deceit, telleth lies, shall not tarry in my sight. Verse 8, I will early destroy the wicked of the land, that I may cut off all wicked doers from the city of the Lord. Now, one of the things that can happen is that you can, by reading that, you can say, oh my God, what of me? What'll become of me, O Lord? And I'm speaking to us who are born again. All right? And the reason why we do that, the reason why we become fearful in reading verses like this, like, he that worketh deceit shall not dwell within my house. Oh my gosh. He that telleth lies shall not tarry in my sight. I will early destroy the wicked of the land, that I may cut off all the wicked doers of the city of my God. Basically, only the perfect can abide. And what happens when we read something like that, or what can happen, and very sadly, what most of the time happens, is that we immediately look at ourselves. Oh, Lord, my God, that means that I can't dwell in your house. Or, oh, Lord, that means I can't tarry in your sight. Oh, Lord, you're going to destroy me. Now, brothers and sisters, the reason why we do stuff like that is because when we read verses like this, in effect, what we are doing, our heart is turned and beholding something that is not our life. Our heart is turned, listen, unto what was. Turned unto times past. God knows our life, who Christ is. The issue is, we probably do not know our life, who Christ is. And once again, I'm speaking to us who are born again. So, Cedar, no. So then, in that, the Lord desires to turn our heart yet once again to behold our life, the life of the church, the life of the body of Christ, the life of every single born-again believer, to behold our life in the face of Jesus Christ, in the person of Christ himself. This is the truth. This is what God declares. The Apostle Paul, beholding this very one, declares, when Christ, who is our life, I think that's in Colossians, and that is reality. Christ himself is the life of the born-again believer. So in reading this, based upon the truth of what we've just read, of what we've just looked at, you know, considered with Colossians, we can read this. He that worketh deceit shall not dwell within my house. We can rejoice. Thank you, Lord. That's not my life. That's not my life. My soul eternally dwells in the house of the Lord, because Christ is the life of my soul. This is not of man, this is of God. I have not done this, but you, O Lord, have done this. That's the difference. Not I, but Christ, glorying in the Lord. Going on, he that telleth lies shall not tarry in my sight. Thank you, Lord. That's not my life. Thank you, Lord, that Christ himself, the truth, is my life. Regardless if I understand it, know it, comprehend it, or not, I can believe your word in hope, because your word is true. And when, by the work of your Holy Spirit, my heart turns to behold the truth in the face of the truth himself, Jesus Christ, I will believe your word in faith, having seen. Okay, shall not tarry in my sight. I will early, and I love this, I will early destroy. Let me just look that up, see if I can do that real quick. Because in a different translation, let's see, verse 7. No, verse 8. Yes, I love this. That term early right there in verse 8 is actually, let me mark this down, it's Strong's number 1242. The King James and New King James translated the term as early, but this is just a Strong's definition. From 1239, properly dawn, as in the break of day, generally morning. Here's where my heart goes with that. I will early destroy all the wicked of the land, that I may cut off all the wicked doers from the city of the Lord. In the morning, no wickedness will remain. No evildoers will remain in the morning. Now, brothers and sisters, once again, I'm speaking to us who are born again. We may say, well, my thoughts or my actions. Well, brothers and sisters, if our thoughts, if our actions are contrary to Him who is our life, then when, by the work of the Holy Spirit, our heart turns to the Lord, we will, in seeing the Living One, and only in seeing the Living One, the One who lives, automatically, that which does not live will be taken away, will be destroyed. The lie will be destroyed in the face of the truth. The ignorance will be destroyed in the face of knowledge. The darkness will be destroyed in the face of light. It'll be destroyed, listen, in the sense of what our heart is submitted unto. At that moment, our heart will no longer be submitted unto the lie, but unto the truth, who Christ is. At that moment, our heart will no longer be submitted unto darkness or ignorance, but unto light, knowledge, who Christ Himself is. At that moment, and at that moment only. Okay, so I love that just right there. These verses that can seemingly be looked at as condemning verses are in fact very merciful and gracious verses of the Lord. All right, so, excuse me, going on. Once again, and this is, we have to keep this in context, that this is all within our main passage of Genesis chapter 17, verse 1 and 2. And so for me, I believe that during this time when the Lord is declaring Himself to Abram as El Shaddai and declaring, walk before my face and be thou perfect, this is encompassing so much more than just what we read in that verse. Abram, in effect, is getting the full scope of it, the full panorama, I guess, of it. I know there's a better way of saying it, but I'm not. Scope of it is the best word I can find for that. And so Psalm 101. Now, as I stated, some think that it was probably written by David. I mean, it says a Psalm of David during the time when he was trying to bring the Ark of the Covenant to Jerusalem. And for me, you know, if that's the case, if that's the setting, then for me, it's of utmost significance. See, to me, I believe David was a very beautiful testimony of Christ. David's heart, in testimony by the work of the Spirit, was turned unto the Lord. And so David found everything in the person of Christ Himself. The king, David didn't look at himself as a king, but David looked at the Lord as his king. The Lord said to my Lord. Okay? So David, with David, everything is in the correct perspective. Everything is in order in his heart in regarding Christ himself. So when he wants to, you know, if this is the case, when he wants to bring the Ark of the Covenant, the Ark of the Testimony, that which represents the glory of God, to Jerusalem, in effect, what he's doing and what he wants to do is what is basically this. What is governing his heart, he wants the same to govern the heart of the entire land. Jerusalem, which is the capital, the heart of the entire land of Israel. And so reading that psalm again, where'd it go? Over here. Reading the psalm again. Nope. Here we go. It's over here. Reading the psalm again. A psalm of David. I will sing of mercy and judgment. Unto thee, O Lord, will I sing. I will behave myself wisely in a perfect way. O, when will thou come to me? And some commentators, I think it was John Gill. I did copy it. He stated that it can also be read, I will behave myself wisely in a perfect way when you come unto me. And see, to me, just because, remember, our main text, our principal text, our principal passage is Genesis chapter 17, verse 1 through 2. The Lord had spoken to Abram. Abram took the initiative. Abram acted in his own strength, in his own might, in his own ability, in his own power, and produced Ishmael, that which God was not after. Here, and remember, Abram's beginning to realize all of this. Abram's beginning to realize what God has promised, what God has desired, what God has declared, what God has required, only God himself can realize. Only God himself can perform. Only God himself can bring to fruition. This is what he's about to discover right here in this passage. What Abram is about to discover. All right. So with I love this of David, because listen to this. I will sing of mercy and judgment. Unto thee, O Lord, will I sing. I will behave myself wisely in a perfect way. And this is, here are the words, perfect. The words we're looking at. When thou comest unto me. And it continues. I will walk. There's our other term, within my house with a perfect heart. And we can see the order. I mean, look at the order of it. Just a beautiful order of the order of the Lord. Very beautiful. Listen, I will behave myself wisely in a perfect way when you come unto me. So when the Lord comes unto David, he will then behave himself wisely in a perfect way, and he will also walk within his house with a perfect heart. This is all based upon when the Lord comes unto him. Now, once again, if this psalm is talking about the time when David was trying to bring the testimony, the Ark of the Testimony, the Ark of the Covenant unto Jerusalem, we know that when he first started, that the Uzzah incident, I think it was Uzzah, where Uzzah died because he stretched forth his hand, touched the ark, he died. So David was afraid. He let the ark go to the house of someone. Forgive me. I read the passage. I just didn't mark the name. So he let the passage there, and the Lord blessed that house. And so remember, David's heart is to bring that which represents the glory of God to govern the heart of the whole land. The glory of God governing the entire land. The entire land submitted unto the true king who is present. All right? So here we have the order. When, and I'll explain it this way for us who are born again, when the heart turns to the Lord, then the heart, in effect, is submitted unto the true king who is present, Christ himself, and no longer unto a false king that is not present. So the heart of the Lord is submitted unto the eternal reality, the eternal change, which is basically this: not I, but Christ. And in him we find mercy, the mercy of God. In him we find the righteousness of God. Look at all the terms. In him we find perfection. In him we find all these terms that we ourselves cannot perform. Because we find all these terms as the testimony of Christ himself, the substance. All right. So, once again, I will behave myself wisely in a perfect way when thou wilt come unto me. I will walk within my house with a perfect heart. And he goes on to say, I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I hate the work of them that turn aside. And I love that. I hate the work of them that do iniquity. No, not in this verse, not in this psalm, that turn aside. It shall not cleave to me. A froward heart shall depart from me. I will not know a wicked person. Whoso privily slandereth his neighbor, him will I cut off. I mean, just, gosh, what? I mean, when I read this, it's just like the dawning of the day to me. Like all, it's like hope, blessing to me. I mean, look at this. A froward heart shall depart from me. I will not know a wicked person. Whoso privily slandereth his neighbor, him will I cut off. All this that is contrary to Christ has been cut off in the cross, and the heart will discover this when the heart turns to the Lord and the day dawn, the day star, arise in our hearts. Remember, darkness, ignorance, cannot abide in light. In knowledge, cannot. When the heart is submitted unto the knowledge of God, who Christ himself is, then the knowledge of man, which in effect is the ignorance of man, cannot abide, does not remain. It is cut off. It is destroyed. It is eliminated. Okay. So just real quick, I wanted to look at maybe a little bit from a couple commentaries here. This is a Jameson Fawcett Brown commentary. And I had some really good comments in my Spanish class, the Spanish commentaries. I may read some notes off of my Spanish notes. Translate them to y'all. But this is Jameson Fawcett Brown commentary for Psalm 101. In this psalm, the profession of the principles of his domestic and political government testifies, as well as actions in accordance with it. David's appreciation of God's mercy to him and his judgment on his enemies. And thus he sings or celebrates God's dealings. David's appreciation of God's mercy to him and his judgment on his enemies. And thus he sings or celebrates God's dealings. Now, Psalm 101. Remember, we cannot separate the testimony from the substance. Verse 1, Psalm 101, verse 1, a psalm of David, I will sing of mercy and judgment. Then he defines it, unto thee, O Lord, will I sing. Mercy and judgment, Christ himself. When the heart, by the work of the Holy Spirit, indeed turns unto the Lord, all that is left, I don't want to say all that is left, the automatic response is gratitude, singing, rejoicing, worshiping Christ himself, the person himself. Think of the wise men that came to Jesus at his birth, or actually when he was after his birth, I guess, but they came to see the King of the Jews, and they came from a far distant land. And what does it say? When they found him, when they saw him, when they recognized him, the King of the Jews, they bowed down and worshiped. All this is automatic. Automatic. Okay? The singing, the rejoicing, the gratitude, the thankfulness unto the Lord. All right? This is still with Jameson Foster Brown commentary. He avows his sincere purpose by God's aid to act uprightly. And it says right here, by God's aid to act uprightly, and then it gives reference of Genesis chapter 17, verse 1. But see, it goes further than God's helping us, brothers and sisters. No, no, no. No. It's either man doing it or God doing it. It's one or the other. And if it's God doing it, then man's doing nothing. Remember how the Lord told Abram, I am Almighty God. I am El Shaddai. I am all powerful, all able, all capable, all sufficient, self-sufficient, El Shaddai. Everything that Abram is not. So in this sense, it's not God helping. It's God himself doing. And Abram is beginning to recognize this and will recognize this at the birth of Isaac. Where is the passage? Because, well, we'll see this. Let me just look for the passage. I jotted it down somewhere. And I can't find it. Ah, Romans. Now I've got to put it over here. Romans chapter 4, let's look at verse 16 through 22. All right. Romans chapter 4, starting with verse 16. This is the Apostle Paul. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be accounted, that it might be according to grace, so that the promise might be sure to all the seed, not only those who are of the law, but also to those who are of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. He goes on, as it is written, verse 17, I have made you a father of many nations in the presence of him whom he believed. In the presence of him, the Lord, whom he believed. He believed the Lord. God who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did. Declares what cannot be seen by the natural eye. Declares reality. Now, Abram, who contrary to hope, in hope believed, so that he became the father of many nations according to what was spoken, so shall your descendants be. Verse 19, and not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead, since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God, being fully convinced that what he had promised, he was also able to perform. We're coming up on this in Genesis chapter 17. And therefore it was accounted to him for righteousness. And that's the case. So it is not God helping us along or God helping us. No, no, no. It is God making us aware that had to jot that down, that with man, it is impossible. Everything that God promises, everything that God declares, everything that God desires, that God requires, God himself must perform. God himself must be the doer of it. God himself must realize it. God himself must bring it to fruition. All right, going on. This is John Gill's expositor for Psalm 101. I will behave myself wisely in a perfect way. It says, So David did before he came to the throne, which made Saul fear him, and the people love him. He gives a reference, First Samuel chapter 18, verse 14. And so he resolved to do and did afterwards, and thus it becomes all good men in every state of life to do. And then do they behave wisely when they walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time when they make the perfect law of liberty, the word of God, the rule of their faith. Take Christ for the pattern and example and the Spirit for their guide when they walk as becomes the gospel of Christ. Seek the glory of God and the good of others, behave inoffensively to all, and live as pilgrims and strangers here, attending closely to their duty, walking in the commandments of the Lord blameless, and yet is certain that no man... Okay, it goes on. And yet, I love this, it is certain that no man lives without sin, or does or can behave himself wisely in so perfect a way and manner as to have no fault in him. Wherefore, this seems most applicable to Christ. Remember, do not separate the testimony from the substance himself. Most applicable to Christ, who, as it was prophesied, he should do. So he did deal prudently or behave wisely. Isaiah chapter 52, verse 13, where the same word is used as here. And this is true of Christ throughout the whole of his life in his infancy, when but 12 years of age, in his public ministry, in his conduct towards all men, in his answers to the ensnaring questions of his enemies, in his behavior at his apprehension, arraignment, condemnation, and crucifixion, and this to perfection, so as that the least fault could not be found in him. John Gill declaring, this is Christ himself. Everything God promises, everything that God declares, this is my comment, everything God requires, that God desires, can only be fulfilled, can only come to fruition, can only be realized by God himself, Christ himself doing this. Okay? So in even reading all those, there's no point in getting fearful when we look at what we believe to be our life. No. Perfect love casts out all fear. Perfect love is found in the person of love himself, Christ himself. When the heart turns to the Lord, the veil is removed. And we see. And there's no fear there. Because we see the one of whom all this is declaring. It's not talking about like me to shape up. No. It's declaring the perfect one, Christ himself. Now remember, just as the Lord told Abram, I am Almighty God, walk before my face, automatically, perfection. Because you will behold the perfect one. Okay? So going on with John Gill's expositor, for the phrase, O when wilt thou come unto me? and perform thy promises in bringing me to rule over all the tribes of Israel. That's one of the commentators had that being the thought there. Or it may be read without an interrogation. When will thou come unto me? Oh, excuse me, without interrogation, without the question mark, when thou wilt come to me. That is, when thou wilt grant me thy gracious presence and divine assistance, then I will behave myself wisely in a perfect way, or in the way of perfect and upright men, and will walk with them and do as they do without the great, do as they do. Okay, that was a semicolon. Now, new thought, or continue with a thought. Without the grace of God and strength of Christ and the assistance of the Spirit, nothing is to be done that is wise and good. And let me just give my own comment on that. Apart from Christ, apart from El Shaddai, nothing is wise, nothing is good. He goes on, if it is applied to Christ, it respects the time of his sufferings and death when he was without the divine presence and help. Anyone else? Well, he goes on. And sincere and upright manner, running your house, sending the someone's family, and so should men do. Oh, okay, I'll just read this. And for the phrase, I will walk within my house with a perfect heart, or in the integrity of my heart, this is still John Gill's expositor, in a sincere and upright manner, ruling my own house well, and setting a good example to all in the family. And so should all good men do, performing all duties of religion in the family, be a pattern of good works, bring up their children in the nature, in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, and neglect nothing that may contribute to their real good and the glory, neglect nothing that may contribute to their real good and the glory of God. The house of Christ is his church and the people. Here he walks and manifests himself, giving proofs of his sincere love and affection to them. Therefore, the Targum paraphrases it, the house of my doctrine, such as the church of Christ. So just reading those, we can listen to this once again, in a sincere and upright manner, ruling my own house well and setting a good example to all in the family, and so should all men do. Whoa. And so should all men do. Then it goes on, performing all duties of religion in the family, be a pattern of good works, bring up their children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, neglecting nothing, and da, 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 the list goes on. And if we are looking at ourselves as the performers, as the ones who can actually do this, then brothers and sisters, we will find no hope in ourselves. But remember Abraham, contrary to hope in himself, in hope in the Lord, he believed. Let's read that again. Verse 16. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be according to grace, so that the promise might be sure to all the seed, not only those who are of the law, but also to those who are of the faith of Abraham. That's basically the Gentiles, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made you a father of many nations in the presence of him whom he believed, before the face of him whom he believed, God who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did. Who, Abraham, who contrary to hope in himself, in hope in the Lord, believed, so that he became the father of many nations according to what was spoken, so shall your seed, descendants, be. And not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body, he did not consider himself already, because it was already dead since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb, he did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully convinced that he, that God was able, that what God had promised, God was able to perform. Genesis chapter 17 brings Abram from hoping in himself and his own ability unto hoping in the Lord and his ability, El Shaddai. And in Psalm 101, in seeing that which leaders, rulers, governors, what should be working in them, it is not a point of condemnation or of now placing upon them an expectation, but just as Abram, bringing the heart from hoping in itself unto hoping in the Lord, from I to Christ. And that's all that it's about, brothers and sisters. And once again, just with our principal text here, Genesis chapter 17 that we've been looking at, verses 1 and 2, this is all and so much more that's going on, and that Abram is beginning to come to know as the Lord takes the initiative, because Abram had already taken the initiative. What was our psalm? Abram had already taken the initiative, and we know the result of man not waiting upon the Lord. We know the results of man taking the initiative and trying to do and perform only what God alone can do and perform. Remember, with man it is impossible, but with God all things are possible. Here's Psalm 27, verse 14 again. Wait on the Lord. This is what Abram is beginning to learn. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage. Not in yourself, but in the Lord. And he shall strengthen your heart. El Shaddai. Wait, I say, on the Lord. This is what Abram's beginning to discover. That the one who hath promised, the one who hath declared, the one who hath desired, is the only one who can perform, who can produce, who can bring about, who can bring to fruition. Coming from trust in man to trust in the Lord. Coming from hope in man and man's ability to hope in the Lord, El Shaddai, his ability. So, we'll end for this class. The Lord bless you. We'll see you again in our next class. Lord bless. Amen.